Since we recognize our limitations, inabilities and frailties, especially with this awesome word that you've given unto us. And so, Father, Lord, I humble myself under the covering of my fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and under you, and I ask for mercy, fresh mercy and unction. So as I minister this word this evening, it will flow out of me, Lord, like a stream of living water, in power, in simplicity, yet with clarity, with the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. And it will accomplish in all of us, including myself, an internal, eternal work, making us more like Jesus, our wills more submitted, our minds further illuminated, our emotions further controlled, that will be equipped to overcome every temptation and enter into all that God has for us, into rest, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that as your word goes forth, let blind eyes be open, let deaf ears be unstopped, let the lame receive strength, that will begin to walk and practice those things that hitherto we were not able, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for yokes that are broken, Lord, limitations that are removed by the power of your Spirit, helping us to be doers of all that we hear and not hearers only, that will bring forth fruit to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for mercy for myself. Lord, have mercy on me. Set, Lord, I pray that you set a watch, O Lord, over the door of my lips, so that, Lord, I will say only those things that you would have me say. And Lord, I'll be a wise scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word, by your help, things new and old, bringing, Lord, honor unto our King, joy unto our fathers, refreshing and strength to my brethren. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a great privilege for me once again to bring this word, to bring the word of God this evening. And I thank God. I thank also my fathers, Pastor Olivia and Mom Sarah, for their love, for the trust, and also for their prayers, which really is doing everything in the background. Amen. And I pray that this word will be a word of refreshing to them and joy, and also to you, my brethren, edifying us all, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so just without much ado, go straight into the word. And this evening, the Lord, just it's an exhortation. That's not that I'm telling you that is new. Everything I'm telling you is something that we have been taught over the years. Amen. But I trust the Lord that it would encourage us. And it's entitled, Holding Fast to Our Crown. Holding fast. God wants us to hold fast to our crown. Amen. And if you look at what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verses 1 to 6, I want us to read very quickly. I don't want us to waste time. Let's read it together. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, and that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. That they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren. Don't take them for granted, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. That's what we're doing today. We're exhorting, we're reminding us of what we have been taught before. So we're teaching and exhorting, and the essence of it is this, is that in everything that we do, this is the workplace. It's talking about the workplace here. But if you're a student, it applies to you. Okay? If you're a journalist, it applies to you. Whatever your profession is, this applies to you. In your home, it applies to you. With your extended family, it applies to you and I. It applies everywhere. What applies? That everywhere we go, the name of God and his doctrine must be honored. Not blasphemed. Our actions reflect God, whether we like it or not. People will draw conclusions based on the way we behave, based on our attitude, based on the way we talk. So it's very important to understand that God is watching us. The cloud of witnesses are watching us. and the world is watching us. So we really must understand that everything we do is advertisement. Like mommy shared with us, you know, God wants to go public. So we let the salt, our light must shine through good works. And when it does not, it tells us that the name of God is blasphemed. Now, to the next few verses. It says, if any man teach otherwise. So there's another teaching that is not according to this one. It's not according to this doctrine. He says, and consent not to the wholesome words. So they don't accept some parts. They take out some parts and they accept some parts. So it's not all scripture. Okay? Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to the doctrine which is according to godliness. If that is not the end of the doctrine that they are preaching, listen to what God has to say. That person is what? Proud. I thought, no, anybody that does not accept some parts of the Bible in black and white is proud. That's what the Bible says. If he doesn't accept that the end of the gospel is godliness, becoming more like God, the Bible says he's proud. And as a result, knows nothing. Because the pride has disconnected him from the grace of God and from the mercy of God, to depend on the degree. And so he doesn't know as he ought to. He can have knowledge. The Bible says, ever learning, but will never know the truth. You will never know the real meat of what God is saying. But doting about questions and strifes, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings. This doctrine produces division. Because it's not complete in itself. So what is incomplete cannot produce a complete work in the lives of people that hear it. Doesn't add up. You need the Bible says the whole counsel of God. I've not shown to declare as able to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So if it's not the whole counsel, it's not going to give you that. Okay? Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmises, perverse disputings of men. Of corrupt minds. Look at where corruption comes from. It's from the church. Corruption comes from the church. When the church doesn't accept the full gospel, there is corruption there, lurking there, in its hidden form. That's where it is. And destitute of the truth. We're supposed to be the pillar and the ground of all truth. Yet there is some truth. There are parts of truth that are missing from the church. And as long as some part of truth is missing, there is corruption there. Only truth can drive out corruption. Corruption is inherent in the sin nature. Only the washing of the water by the word can drive it out. Okay? And that's what the Bible is saying. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw. The Bible says you should avoid them. Don't try and be nice. Don't try and say they are carrying a virus. And that virus is infectious. It's infectious. So you need to stay away from that virus. But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain is immunity against the virus. That's what God is saying. Amen. So what does this portion of scripture tell us? Just like I said, you know, we're supposed to bring God honor. And everything we do is supposed to bring honor. The Bible says in Romans 2:7 that those who through patience, continuance in well-doing, seek for what? Glory, honor, and immortality. So by doing well, we bring God glory. It brings us into the glory of God, and we also bring God glory. People say, wow. Just like on Sunday, we're talking about the Thessalonians. Because they allowed the gospel to enter into them, the Bible says that Paul was glorying. He was boasting about them because they were doing the right thing, walking in faith and walking in love. Okay? So this is what the Bible is saying. And two things are necessary for us to be able to bring forth these things. And they're in that portion of scripture that we read. The first thing is reverence. Reverence for God and all authority. You know, because if we don't accept the word of God, even God has magnified the word above his name. In Psalm 138 verse 2. So, if you don't accept the word of God, that is even above. God has made himself subject to that word. Then you are above it. you are proud. You are proud. That's what the Bible says. You are proud. And that reverence is key. Because if you don't walk in reverence, you will not have the grace of God, which gives access to the life of God in measure. The Bible says God resists the proud, but it gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. Some foundational things we don't need to turn to, we just need to mention them. You can note the scriptures and check them later so we can save time. Okay? So this is what the Lord is doing. Alright? And the second thing that we see is that we need to submit ourselves to instruction. So he's talking to them that even though you are in the workplace, respect your boss, because it's affected the grace of God upon your life. Respect your mom. Respect your children. Respect your husband. Husbands, respect your wives. Respect civil authority. People in authority, you don't talk about them anyhow. Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of your people. It's very important. He's talking about reverence. Put space, not because of them, because of the position that they have. And all authorities ordained of God. So you need to respect them. And then you need to submit to the instructions that are according to godliness or love. We can say godliness is love because godliness is God-likeness. And God is love in 1 John 4:8. So God-likeness is love. Okay? Alright? So he's talking about instructions that will make you walk in love and reverence to all authority. You can't pick and choose. You can't pick and choose. Okay, I like my pastor, but no, my husband at home. No. No. The Bible says we submit to one another in the fear of God. This is the word of God. Okay? And once we deviate from this, corruption comes in. And it fills our lives. It fills our homes. It fills our workplace. It fills our nation. And it fills the nations of the world. Because we're in charge. So, to drive it out, we must start with ourselves. Fill ourselves with the truth. And instead of corruption now, let love, that's the salt. That mama was preaching to us on December 31st. The salt of love is what drives out that ungodliness, you know, and that corruption. Okay? And it's very, but look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Your mommy shared the scripture with us, and I'm going over it again. Let's look at it in the Amplified, please. Matthew 5:13 in the Amplified. Thank you. Let's read it together. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, its strength, its quality, how can its saltiness be restored? It is not good for anything any longer, but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. Okay? Be thrown out. Give it to me in the Message Bible. Quickly. Thank you. In the Message Bible. Yes. Let me tell you why you are here. Like mommy said, you are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the godliness. The flavor of God. Love. That flavor. It's a particular flavor, and the world doesn't have it. And if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? So he's nailing it to godliness. You've lost your usefulness. May we not lose our usefulness in Jesus' name. And we'll end up where? In the garbage. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. We'll not lose our usefulness. So the more love you have, the more love you exercise, the more useful you are to God. And the more God keeps you from the temptation that is coming upon the rest of the world. Amen. All right. So in summary, what are we saying? We're saying stay under divine order. Stay. Mommy talks about order. The currency of the spirit is order. It's a currency in the spirit. You know, it's the kingdom. Order. There's order. Without order, there can't be purity. Papa Ralph taught us. And without purity, there can't be power. So the order is important. And when the order is there, then obey the instructions to generate the power. It is that power that makes us pure and then makes us vessels that can carry his power. Amen? So that's the will of God. Romans 13:10. Just going over this so we can understand it. Love is the purpose. Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. In Christianity, what we need to produce is love. It's not money. It's not cathedrals. It's not good works or social works, you know, in the community. These things all have their place. It's not demonstrating the wealth of God. That God has, no, it's not. It is love. And if you don't stay focused on that purpose, you can swerve. Bible says, let them have swerved into vain jangling. So you are still talking, but God has left. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. I'm saying this because, you know, in our homes, we're a church. Your home is a church. So you must make sure your home is staying on point. People's behavior, people's words in our homes, it matters. You know, and I remember when I was younger and I stayed with Pastor Amomi. We can be watching a movie and one wrong comment, and that's the end of the movie. You will explain, why did you say that? What was the reason for that statement? And that's the end of the movie. It happened not once, not twice. So everybody was, while we are relaxing, and you are watching your heart. Amen. You are keeping your heart with all diligence. And when you are corrected, you take it nicely. And we forget about the movie. Why? Because the purpose is not the movie. The purpose is love. When we are watching the movie, we are watching it to increase in love. So that means there's some movies, some content you should not be watching. Because if it's not producing increase in love, what are you doing watching it? Amen. Just by the side. Amen. All right. Colossians 1:26-28. All right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:26-28. Let's look at it. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to saints. God hid this thing for the sincere. He didn't hid it. He didn't hide it. Okay, you know, it wasn't hid away from, you know, it was hid for us. But you know, the Bible says, no, the secret things belong to God. But things that are revealed belong to us and our children. So God reveals them. It's the honor of a king to search things out. So God reveals things in his own time. And when it's revealed, then you now begin to press into it. You now begin to walk towards experiencing it. Okay? So it was hidden for a time. Next verse. But now it's manifest. Okay? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, love in you, godliness in you, the hope of glory. Next verse. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man. That's why I said teach and exhort every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man what? Perfect in Christ Jesus. This is the center of the gospel, the bull's eye of the gospel. Now everything else is built around it and has its place around it, and it does have its place, but we cannot make them the bull's eye. This is the bull's eye. Amen. That's the will of God. Now, the enemy, why are we preaching this? We're preaching it because the enemy is assaulting us with affliction and persecution. And there are two things he wants to do. He makes it too difficult for you and I, so we give up. But we're not going to give up in Jesus' name. Or makes it easy. I don't disturb the devil. The devil doesn't disturb me. So we have a compromise of sorts. Yes. So either way, you can take our crown, but you won't take it in Jesus' name. So there's that assault of false doctrine. The Bible says that, you know, in Matthew chapter 7, you know where it talks about. Look at Matthew chapter 7 in verse 24 and 25. You give it to me in the Message Bible. 7:24 in the Message Bible, please. Thank you. These words I speak to you. I can't hear you, brethren. One more time. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. So you are living your life the way you want, but then you just add the word of God by the side. That's not what he said. He said, They are not homeowner improvements to your standard of living. You know, when you buy a house, you now make it according to your own specs. That's homeowner improvement. You are adding what you want to it. It's not improvement to your standard of living. When it's convenient, I take it. When it's not convenient, I leave it. They are foundational words. Well, to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who builds his house on solid rock. And Bible says that the wind blows, isn't it? The rain, for there's rain of wrong doctrine. There is wind of false doctrine. There is flood of false doctrine. And it's making houses fall. Our house will not fall in Jesus' name. Amen? So we must stay with what God has given us, you know, and allow him to help us to lay hold on our crown. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Okay? Let's tell us about taking our crown. Thank you. Amplify. Thank you. 10 and 11. Because you have guarded and kept my word of patient endurance, have held fast the lesson of my patience with the expectant endurance that I give you. So God gives you the endurance. You just have to receive the endurance. He is not asking you to develop it by yourself. He's giving it to you. You just need to receive it. Amen? You and I receive the endurance, okay? That I give you. I will also keep you safe from the hour of trial, testing, which is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. Next verse. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one may rob you and deprive you of your crown. Nobody will deprive us of our crown in Jesus' name. All right? Okay. And there's an example here in Psalm 73. It's a story we all know. But David went into the house of the Lord. Amen. You know, and then but God is good to Israel. In verse 1, he went to the house of the Lord. All of a sudden, he saw the wicked. And they didn't look wicked. They looked better than him. They looked like their Christianity was actually producing fruit. And his own Christianity was not producing fruit. Look at verses 1 to 3. We're just going to skip verses here quickly. Okay? Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such of a clean heart. You need to mark that, okay? The cleanness of heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps have well nigh slipped. And some of us, we're looking at the wrong thing. We are focusing on the wrong thing. And God is trying to refocus us back on what is important, what is paramount. Amen? Amen? Next verse. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They are foolish and wicked, but if you are looking in another way, with another eye, you are only saying that they are foolish and wicked when you are looking with the x-ray of God's eyes. But if you are looking with ordinary eyes, they look wise and prosperous. So that's why can't you be envious at somebody you are envious at somebody who actually looks, it's as if what he's doing is actually the correct thing. Next verse. Quick. Let's jump to verses 6 and 7. 6 and 7. Give me 6 and 7. Therefore, pride. See, things that compass them now. Okay? They are proud. Compass them about as a chain. Violence covered them as a garment. The way they talk. Okay? Next verse. Their eyes stand out with fatness. Horrible. They're well fed. You know, they don't look like they are suffering for Jesus. Or they have been fasting or something wrong with them. They look robust. It's not even looking healthy. We're not talking about but these ones, the Bible says their eyes. So it's talking about the greed of their mind. They have more than heart could wish. Today they're in Amsterdam. Tomorrow they're in Congo. The next one they're in the south of France. Before you know it, they're in Portugal. They are where they want to be, when they want to be, anytime. They and their family. It's not a business. And they all travel first class. There's nothing wrong with that. But using that as an indicator, that's the problem. As that, using that as an index, as an indicator of whether they're enjoying the favor of God. or whether God is pleased with them. All right, verse 7. All right, let's jump now again. Let's go to verse 12 quickly. But these are the who ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. So there are some Christians that are not like God. That's what means of ungodly. Their behaviors, and they are proud, they are foolish, they are envious. No, those are the qualities of the spirit. Their eyes stand out with pride. They have greed, covetousness, you know. And the Bible says that they prosper in the world. And the devil does it deliberately to discourage you and I. Or to lay us over. And say, this thing is not so hard now. He told Jesus. He said, this is I will give you. Just bow down to me. It's very important. So it's not something new, all right? Verses 17 to 19. This is the end. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, until you enter, you can't stay in the outer court and understand these people. You must move towards God. You must move towards God, who is in the holiest of all. So you go from the outer court into the holy place. Then you begin to understand. But outside there, with natural light, you will not understand. Okay? And understood their end. The key is the end. Is the end. Next verse. Thou didst set them in slippery places. That casted them down into destruction. How they are brought into desolation. As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terror. He's talking about sudden death, sudden premature death, sudden judgment coming upon them. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. But I'm just talking about the fact that don't look at people. Don't look at people. Everybody has what God has called them to be. You need to look at what God has shown you, the word He has preached to you, the people He has set in authority over you. You can't wish for somebody else to be your boss. You can't wish for somebody else to be your mom. Your mom is your mom. Your wife is your wife. You're stuck. You now need to ask God to have mercy on you and help you to reverence where you are. And then put into practice the instructions of godliness and generate spiritual power. And let's now see what God will do. Amen. This is the will of God. Amen. All right. Now, why? There is a pattern that God has given us. If you look at the old, the early church, when God gave the early church the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, right now, God has given us the Spirit without measure is in the earth. We understand that from the scriptures, that the heavens were open, you know, and the voice came and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So from the spoken word, the clarity of the word that God has given us from the pulpit through our fathers, you know, and the open heavens of how, you know, you can see the word of God, you can see the word of God, you can see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It tells you that just as the baptism, where Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist, you know, the Spirit is in the earth. That Spirit has been released into the earth. But the same way too, when the earnest of the Spirit came, and it came like a rushing mighty wind, it came to the place where the house was, and they were speaking other tongues. You can see, so the first thing was the speaking in tongues. That was the first thing that was dramatic. But look at what happened after. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they appeared unto them. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I've left this. I summarized this. Thank you. And they continued what? Steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine. That's the first thing. That's why the devil fights doctrine. And because there's no king in the land, you go to one church, they have their own doctrine. Go to another church, they have their own doctrine. And this is what we believe. This is what we believe. So everybody is believing what they want to believe. And it's as if this is how we have done it and this is how it's okay. No. There is a doctrine that Lord Jesus Christ set out. It's called the doctrine according to godliness. Alright? Apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship there is talking about relationship in love and forgiveness, maintaining the unity of the Spirit. It's not just it's fellowship, as in fellowship, you know, as a family, come to fellowship in church. So we know we don't absent ourselves from church. So they were coming together. Okay, they were listening to the word together. Okay, they were also spiritually, they were forgiving each other and loving each other. So there was a flow of the life of God through that assembly. Amen. And they were breaking bread. Breaking bread there is talking about eating, particularly of the communion. And what do you do when you take communion? You confess your sins, you repent, isn't it? And you receive life. This particularly, the doctrine of godliness, life as a concept, the concept of eternal life, is something the devil has fought. He has really fought it because he knows that it is the key to fast track the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, a breaking of bread and in prayers. So, the doctrine, the fellowship in unity, the repentance and penitence, and the prayers. Okay, next verse. And what happened? Fear came upon every soul. Reverence. Fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. It triggered the manifestation. The spirit was there, but it was the conduct and the unity of the people. And the continual practice of repentance and penitence and humility, praying together, and listen to the same doctrine. That was complete doctrine that brought the glory. Verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one another in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness of heart and sickness of heart. Next verse. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was added to the church daily, such as should be saved. There was a revival. There was glory. There was revival. Nobody could gainsay. After this, the man at the gate of beautiful was healed. A standard was being set by God to trigger the glory and to bring judgment. By the time you come to Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira are judged. So we are at the same point now. God is saying, this is the time to give heed to the apostles' doctrine. Maintain fellowship in unity. Walk with the attitude of penitence and repentance, breaking of bread, okay? And prayer, consistent prayer, praying in tongues, praying in travel, okay? All right, and all that is through, is what brings fear, glory, unity, and contentment, all right? And that's what God is doing, all right? Very important that let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, because it's very important, this concept of life, for people that may not be familiar. It's very important that we look at this. That according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You can see the connection there. Godliness is the effect of having more and more and more life. Life is what makes God God. The substance inside God that makes God God. John 5:26. As the Father has life in himself, so has he given unto the Son to have life in himself. So what is life? What the Father has in himself. And Jesus came to give us that life. I am come that they might have life. And have it what? More abundantly. And the more life you have, it creates the effect of godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Next verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of this life, the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you see, the life is the answer to the corruption. The life is the answer to the corruption. And with that life, let's look at next verse quickly. And beside this, giving all diligence, once you have the life, the faith that gives you the life, and you continue diligently, you will add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. Next verse. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Next verse. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity. Next verse. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren of fruitful knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, with things, the things that pertain to godliness, using life, you shall never fall. God is telling you, you're not going to fall. Don't be afraid. There is the chance is zero. John 17 verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Life is central to the gospel. The devil has just, I don't know how he has done it, but he has failed in Jesus' name. God is bringing it back to the front burner. If there's anything I should not give up now, is praying to receive the life of God, using the word of God, using the name. John 20, 31. You know, in Jesus' name, that believing you might receive life through his name. In Jesus' name, I have life. It's not some doctrine that for Pastor Nubi or Mommy Sarah. It's in the word of God. It's a secret that was hidden before, but God is now bringing it out and putting it on the front burner. And you are privileged to be first among the first to hear about it. Amen. All right. Don't. The verse will not be last in Jesus' name. Amen. Secondly, our Lord and Master, Lord Jesus Christ, held fast to his crown by his lifetime of prayer. He used to pray a great while before day. But when he was going to the cross and he was under special pressure, he went in with his disciples and to pray, you know, for 3 hours to generate the power. So the power of godliness helps you overcome difficult situations. I don't know what you are going through. Pray the price. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. You don't have time for TV until things are sorted. Sort it out. He gave out. He didn't minister to people. He didn't do anything. He left those and went and prayed. And prayed himself into the will of God. Brother, we can pray ourselves into the will of God. We can pray some infirmities and, you know, from things that dominate us, we can begin to dominate it. Then we can flush it out. It's a project. And you must not give it space. If you have been doing something and it's not moving, Jesus did not say, I already prayed this morning. He prayed a great while before day. That particular day he was going to get the money. But in spite of that, he was under pressure. And he knew it. So he was sincere about it. That's the breaking of the bread. He went and said, God, this is how I feel, to be honest. And God said, it's not right. Even he himself knew that it was not right. So he repented, you know, and he prayed. First hour, he prayed. Second hour, he prayed. Third hour. By the time he prayed, he prayed himself into the will of God. Look at John, look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 5. Though he were a son, yet learned he what? Obedience. Making himself do what God wanted him to do. Or made learned he godliness. Though he was the son of God, he had to learn godliness by the things which he suffered. Next verse. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Amen. So what do we see here? We see Jesus finishing his course. Along that course, John alone describes that temptation in John 18, where they asked him, what have you been saying? And he said, I've not said it in a corner, in a secret. I've said it openly. Ask the people. He said, where are your disciples? You know, what have you been saying? Yeah, tell us what they have been saying. He said, I've said openly. Ask them. And somebody came and slapped him. And somebody comes to slap you. And you can say, as he brings that hand, you can say, stop there. Show me there was a prophet that did that. A king, the young prophet. A king he didn't even want to eat him. Just pointed his hand to give an order. And that hand just shriveled up. And that's Old Testament. A greater than that prophet is here. He kept his mouth shut. That his hand. Before he eat it, was normal. He eat his face of God. And then he took the hand back. And the hand was still normal. That's love. That's the power of self-restraint. And then he said, why are you hitting me? If I have said anything wrong, witness to it to the wrong, but why are you hitting me? That is the power of godliness at work during extreme provocation, because there was a defining point. Bible says he was tempted like as you were, yet without sin. That was a defining point. Anything he said or did there could have changed the course or trajectory. He just stepped over it. Brethren, that's how we have to do. We have to step over. As we follow the apostles' doctrine, like Jesus, we have to walk in love. Our love walk must go. Our forgiveness. He forgave that guy. He forgave him instantly. He asked God for mercy. Confessed his sins. Everything he could do without opening his mouth. But Bible calls secret love. He did it for that guy. Right there and then. That's how the guy escaped. He escaped. Judgment that should have come to him for hitting the face of the King of Kings. We also must obey to the end. Jesus obeyed to the end, and we're going to obey to the end in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one or two negative examples. Well, we don't want to, but it's important for us to know this, to balance it out. Jonathan and David. See, brethren, it's not enough to agree to the gospel according to godliness. It's important to follow after. Jonathan did not follow David, but he said of David that I know you will be king, and I know that I will be next to you. But he said everything, loved him, but he did not follow him. So you can have right attitude, reverence, but you don't back it up with obedience to instruction. It's not going to work. John the Baptist chose not to follow Jesus and his teachings. So he didn't even reverence him. He didn't give him the reverence that was his due. He didn't give it. And because he didn't give him the reverence, all the teachings that Jesus was teaching, he was not privy to it. So he kept straying. Of course, he became proud. And when he saw injustice, you see, one thing that the Lord, I think, shared with me here is that when something unjust is going on, unjust suffering, either your own suffering or somebody else's suffering, is a temptation. It's a tendency, particularly because it's unjust. The Bible says that we must suffer wrongdoing if it be the will of God. 1 Peter, if it be the will of God, we should suffer wrongdoing, just as the Lord Jesus Christ suffered wrongdoing. That rising at injustice is a trap. It's a trap. We need to be careful. John the Baptist fell for it. Jesus didn't fall for it. Paul managed to survive. No, they slapped and said, God punish you. But then I didn't know what happened. God just had mercy on him and helped him. But injustice, when you see justice, you talk anyhow when God didn't tell you to talk. That's what happened to John the Baptist. Criticizing people in authority. Where God didn't send you. Didn't send you. What happened? He was imprisoned. He didn't repent. Ultimately, they cut off his head. Because he already had no head. So when you don't have a head, it will lead to your head being cut off. Because the people that will protect you is your head. The glory of children are their fathers. It's fathers that stand in the gap. But when you have disconnected yourself, we will not disconnect ourselves in Jesus' name. If we disconnect ourselves, then your head is open for the taking. So his head was open all that time, but God was having mercy on him to repent. But he didn't. That's not our portion, but we need to know. And then, of course, the young prophet who did not heed the instruction that God gave him. God gave him a specific instruction. He obeyed for some time, then he stopped to obey. There's a danger in stopping to obey. But when he stopped obeying, his flesh got the better of him. So what's the key here? Omission leads to commission. If you don't pray, it's going to lead to something else. If you don't do something, it's going into something else. That something that's not the issue is the lack of prayer. That's why we need to repent of prayerlessness. Okay? So it's the doers, not the hearers. All right? And omission, you must avoid omission because it leads to commission. Okay? So how then do we make sure that we hold fast to our crown? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Same 1 Timothy. In chapter 6, verse 11. Let's read it together. Let's read it from 11. Just read it to the end. But thou, O man of God. How many men of God are here? Alright, if you're a man of God at home, just stretch forth the hand toward your device. Alright, so this is you now. Alright, so put your name there in your mind. Right, internalize this. But thou, O, whatever your name is, okay? Kunle, Pastor Boyega, Kayode, alright? Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Doesn't even. Next verse. Fight! I can't hear you. Let everybody say it together. Fight! One more time. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on what? Eternal life. He's talking about eternal life again. Clearly. Whereunto thou art also called. And thou hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Next verse. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who gives life. That's old English. Who quickeneth, it means give life to all things. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. They were asking him questions and did not make a mistake in his answer. Testing. You can be tested and not fall. Is the question of putting the life of God in your system, brethren. Consistently, amen. That I'll keep this commandment of life and love. That's the commandment. Without spot by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Unrebukable. Practice makes perfect. Diligent practice. All right. Blameless, harmless. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that appearing is at different levels. In fact, the weekly remember yesterday was Christ coming in us. I mean, beautifully summarized. Let's give God a clap of beautiful word. Every day, Christ coming in us, beautiful imperfection. Christ coming, for us, in the rapture. Amen. And Christ coming with us at the second coming when nations rise up against Israel. Very simple. And keep your garment on. Keep your armor of love on all through. And it will take you through all three comings. Amen. All right, so we see the same here. The appearing of Lord Jesus Christ in us. That's the appearing we're waiting for now. It's the first appearing. That's the first appearing. Second one is one for us, and the last one is one with us. Which in his time, we don't know the we know the season, but which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Next verse. Who only, for now, who only hath what? Immortality. But Bible says that there are some who through patient continuous well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality. To those ones, he's going to give them immortality. Immortality. That's immortality, is the glorified body. Alright? Life. Life in the mortal flesh. I mean, that doesn't mean you can't die. No. It's immortality at different levels, really. No, there's a sense of life in your mortal flesh where you now, like Jesus, you now carry the glory of God. You do the works that Jesus did and greater works. No. Now, in that case, you determine when, where, and how you die. No. So you have power over death. But it is written that every man must die, so you're going to die. But your own portion can be just to die on your way where you are being raptured. You can just change states. That's death. It's not your portion to die of sickness. Amen. And you not die of COVID in Jesus' name. That's not our portion. Amen. Who only have immortality? The immortality is coming from the life. The life that produces godliness is the same that is producing immortality. Amen. Dwelling in the light which no man can approach. But you stop being a man. You become a God. So you can approach. Amen. Over time. Whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting.
Amen. Final.
He has the final say. This is where we are, brethren. Eh? And this is what God is. So what do we do? Go back to verse 11. You know, we set our hearts to follow after love, godliness, righteousness. You know? And that means that you forsake sin. You confess sin. Whenever you fall, you confess, you repent, and you forsake, you know, and you have mercy. And that mercy gives you life to help you to walk better, to become faithful. Amen. You know, to help you not to faint, not to give up, to help you not to be consumed when you're under pressure. Even Jesus, I guess, needed mercy on the outside to help him. It says that his sweat was like great drops of blood. An angel appeared from heaven, strengthening him. But it's the attitude. God is good to them out of a clean heart. So we keep cleaning our hearts out. Amen. And that's where it starts. Amen. Then we identify and submit to said spiritual fathers. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. As we begin to close. 2 Corinthians 12, 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Truly, brethren, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all what? Patience. That's the first thing. Fruit. Patience. The consistency of the doctrine. The consistency of the word. The consistency of the walking in godliness. That consistency is the key. Because it is in your patience that you possess your soul. That patience is very important. That patience. And then, of course, in signs and wonders, and then in glory breaks and mighty deeds. Okay? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Again, you see this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my... This is Paul talking to Timothy. Say, thou hast fully known my what? Doctrine. That's number one. But then, don't let the doctrine go. Hold fast to the word every day. Every day. That word is so key. It's our comfort in this time. It's our light. Amen. It's our encouragement. The rod and staff that comfort us. And you know, and bring us into a place where God sets a table for you in the presence of your enemies. So it's as if they are not there. They are there, but they're not there. Because you can't see them again. All you can see is God all around. Elisha could only see God. There was a whole army outside his house at Dothan, the place of two wells, the well of mercy and the well of grace, working on his life, and they surrounded. The servant was like, you cannot see. He's like, relax. Down, Lord, open his eyes. May God give us light. That's why the Bible is talking about the one that gives light, the blessed and only potentate. Amen. He's the one that knows, so that you can see that doctrine is center, manner of life, purpose, and then faith, long suffering, charity. You can see fruit is full of fruit and purpose. Fruit and faith. Faith and fruit and purpose. And of course, the fruit of good treasure. The fruit of good treasure, you know, that's deep revelation that comes from the holiest of all. And that lets you know that this is not what I read in my Bible every day. No, this is something you read it and it's so concise. It's what the Bible calls epignosis. Perfect, precise, exact knowledge. Something witnesses in your heart that this is complete. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken for it. Amen. And of course, fight the good fight of faith. Fight to choose the fear of God. Don't choose the fear of man. Pray those prayers. That's how you do that. Pray to choose the fear of God. Pray to walk in wisdom. Praying with all types of prayer in the spirit, using the life of God. Like we do during Good Morning Jesus in the morning. Fight! Don't sleep. You cannot fight and sleep at the same time. So make sure you fight when you're supposed to be fighting. Fight. Fight. Don't sleep. Amen. God will have mercy on us. all right, and obey instruction, all right. All this is there, you know, by cleaning with the blood. That's why it says that you keep this commandment without spot. Give me that section, unrepeatable, without spot. And you know, it reminds me of when David was trying to bring back the ark, wanted to bring the glory back to Israel, the ark of God's presence. And one of the reasons why David was the only one that conquered the land, the promised land, which is the type of what we're trying to, what God is taking us into to enter. Second Samuel chapter 6 in verse 13. Second Samuel chapter 6. Second Samuel. Yes, give me verse 12. And it was told King David, and the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and of all that pertained unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. How did he bring it? Let's know next verse. It was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. So every 6 paces, every 6 hours, frequent confession of our sins, frequent, and even more than that, at every opportunity, every temptation, ask for mercy, to walk in love, pray in the spirit. Okay, all right, very important. So we pray in tongues, pray with travail. Travail is morning, good morning, Jesus, and then of course tongues through the day. Of course, if you're older, then you have to cover areas of your life in prayer. You just have to pray extra just to be able to go through that. So we need to watch what's going on in areas of our lives and then pray. Okay, and then of course the word, reading it, confessing it, meditating it, and practicing it. You use the word to mortify the flesh. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You can see here that he's put the issue of fight first. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. But now he's talking about the blood, and he needs a good profession. He's talking about the word. So it's all three, it's all there. All there to overcome the flesh, so you can keep the flesh absolutely crucified. And number 5, cultivate patience. Patience. And when you cultivate patience, Bible, Luke 21:30, 21:19, I beg your pardon. Luke 21:19. In your patience, possess your soul. So from a negative situation, you can just stand your ground. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Stand there and fight. Why? Psalm 46. Give me verse 3. Psalm 46. You are going through a difficult time. It's talked about that, about difficult situations, from verse 1. Alright? Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake, stuff is going on. Shaking, roaring, noise, swellings. Next verse. There is a river. That river is coming from God. This stream is a stream initially, whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Number 5, part 5, verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Amen. God shall help her. And that, God's going to help you early. Amen. You will not be moved from the path of godliness into the glory of God in Jesus' name. The next verse. Okay. And though the hidden reach, jump to, I think, verse 9. Okay, make it worse to cease. So it's talking about effect of the river, breaking the bow, cutting the spell, bringing peace. And it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the hidden. I will be exalted in the earth. How will he do that? Through us. God is going to be, he's going to exalt himself. God is our, yes, Lord of hosts is our refuge. Amen. Alright? So this This is very important to hold on to. This is the end of the story. Yes, verse 11. Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's our refuge. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Let's talk to God, confess our sins. Let's hold on to that life. Make sure you walk in life. When you see injustice and there's that initial righteous reaction, the same thing happened to Ahithophel. Injustice. Be careful. Jesus. Let's keep our eyes on the goal. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made a choice to listen for your says that he will not despise the cry of the destitute. That Lord, you will stand, you will not fall. Alright, let us pray together. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today. I confess my sins and I repent of them. I receive forgiveness and cleansing. I forsake faults and sins that have easily beset me. And I receive mercy as I come before you now to pray. Thank you, Father, for this word that has come to encourage me to hold fast to godliness, to hold fast to obedience, to hold fast to the life of God, to hold fast to operating the law of life and love. Have mercy on me. Help me to continue to be faithful, to keep your word in my mouth and in my heart, that I may do it. So as I do it more and more, I will add to myself. I will flee from ungodliness and corruption and follow after righteousness, godliness, patience, faith, temperance, and meekness, so that I will stand in this day, having done all to stand under covering of my fathers, and I will not fall, in Jesus' name, laying hold upon this crown that you have set before me, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's now pray in the spirit. Rasokototum, zeke koshtakanavamait, rabakasovastoptedotum, kanzeketo shange de betibe koabam pariam bakatase, lebebeberukato, losekanteko, thank you, Father. Meko koko leveberia, thank you, Lord Jesus. Sapreketo, banga leveberigan, rabakotovesotefere, Holy Spirit, rabakatantos de via, rababababababakosea, jefeka koko ko lemananai, labar. Dabai, rubber bubble boy, Janke de Beberian, Mapa Bango de Bai, rubber bubble bowl, rubber bubble cotea, rubber cotabo santa, Jeffrequero, Cocotani, rubber bosse, Jeffreque Culeva Bai. In Jesus' name.